Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous. Disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thoughts?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Now I'm drinking coffee. You go ahead. I'm going to do some ASMR in the background while you do our intro, Reese. Here we go.
Ready? Okay, three, great. Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Reese Waters, and with me is the ASMR enthusiast, Jesse Harley.
Oh, goodness, that's hot. That's hot coffee there. Hello. Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. It's because I'm literally in a closet and I can't see anybody.
Yeah, I didn't.
Hi, hello. And also, welcome.
Also, the camera's off, so.
And the camera's off. That's right. Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. Reese is a Welsh immigrant who is into Canadian politics. And I, after 2 years of this fucking podcast, still kind of hate it, honestly. And he thinks that's still a funny joke. So welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yay. Yeah. So I've got some speak pipes. This is after you got asked about dating and someone offered to be your friend. I got an invite to be a friend too.
Wow. No love for Reese on the friend thing? Reese, if you ever find your way up to Moncton, give me a call. I'll show you around.
That's your date? Is meh. I'll show you around, I guess.
If I'm ever in Moncton. Yeah. No, it's not a date. It's like a friend. So that's my Moncton-based friend. So anyway, yeah.
How lovely is that?
We did have another one, and this person, basically, we had that weird message from the future, and that weird message from the future is now starting to interrupt other speak pipes. So here's another one.
Hey there, boys. Fan from south of the border here. My cousin showed me your podcast, and I love it. Very funny. Great for driving. I've tried to get my friends on, but, just one weird thing. I was thinking about the title. You know, you say it's boring, but it's actually not, you know. And then suddenly I was surrounded by this bright white light. And
Seeds podcasting about Canada. Seeds podcasting about Canada.
The next moment I was way down the highway. Like, I must have lost a few minutes. Any other listeners ever have that happen? It's just a bit strange.
Boudin will stand while Donaire falls.
Anyway, I just thought I'd say thanks for the podcast. You're doing a great job, boys. You know, keep it up.
Yeah. So anyway, I do love that.
Okay. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. Anyway. So, I got a quick STD zone thing to share before we get onto the main story.
I love it when you share your STDs with me, Reese. Go ahead.
So one of my kids, 7 years old. He basically said to me, he was like, hey, I know where babies come from. And I was bracing myself.
God. Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
Because that's always a very difficult conversation. He said, well, first of all, you're a monkey. Then you become a caveman. And then you become a real human. And my reaction was, that's right. That's why you're halfway between being a monkey and a caveman. So,
is that what you told him?
Yes.
So you didn't bother correcting your son on where he's babies kind of come mixed from.
He's kind of mixed a very shabby understanding of evolution up with birth and the
right. And you don't want to tell him he's wrong, because then you'll tell him he'll start thinking that his theory of evolution is incorrect, and that'll just mess him up for life. So you might as well just let him run with that. Honestly, that's
yeah. And you know, the school will correct it. It's fine.
Hot coffee.
Hot coffee. Anyway, you ready? You asked me to I don't like Folgers.
What did we call it again? The roasted armpit flakes?
Armpit shit or whatever it was. I don't know. We're never going to get a sponsorship deal with them.
I mean, you know. Yeah. Fucking Pierre Poilievre is fucking fuckity fucked. Fuck. I heard the news. I did hear that. Someone sent that to me.
Oh, we're talking about Poilievre. Since when do you care?
Well, he's a fucking talking ape, man. He's a giant robot. He's pretending to be human. He's horrible. He's a monster of a human being. I don't like it because
name me one politician. Name me one politician you didn't just describe.
I'm gonna go with fucking Diefenbaker. He sounded like a nice guy.
I'm voting for Diefenbaker this year.
Yeah. You? No, but okay, seriously, I don't follow this shit, although I've seen the stuff posted on Twitter from him, and he just gets people all hyped up and riled up talking about freedom, and, well, we're oppressed, and we got to stop being oppressed, and we need more freedom from the oppression, and like, we need to stop wasting taxpayers' dollars. And, like, he uses these really big sort of hyped up phrases, and everywhere in the comments is, like, seriously, just check it out for yourself. Everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Give a single example as to what the fuck you're talking about. And he doesn't do it. He never responds.
No, but right? That's for his base. His people aren't free to be racist anymore openly, because they lose their jobs and they face consequences. And that's what when he says people aren't free anymore, is people aren't free
to be racist.
Do the things they used to do that are no longer acceptable. That's all it means. You just got to read between the lines.
Good.
He talked about he uses Anglo-Saxon speech when he was talking to Jordan Peterson on his podcast. That using that kind of language is such a dog whistle for racists and stuff, like talking about Anglo-Saxon.
Wow, I didn't know his base. No,
honestly, I don't know whether he is or not, but he knows how to play to that base, and he puts little dog whistles and little clues in the languages he uses that you go, yes, but to most people they wouldn't even pick up on it. And
right.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what's frightening. He's a very, very intelligent sociopath who knows how to play the game. And that's why I am afraid of him. And he just got, like, he's now the conservative leader. Fucking Jesus Christ. Look at you. Fucking getting me all, starting to get me caring about this shit.
Look at that. Yay. Reese won. It only took 206 episodes, but I won.
Yeah, look how happy I am.
Enough about all the modern stuff.
Yeah, you got bear shit to tell today. Me. Tell me about your STD zone.
No, I don't. I already did my STD zone, but I've got a story for you. You asked me to find a crazy historic story, and I did.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm excited. I'm gonna pretend yeah. I'm sitting okay, so down in a nice comfy leather chair place and just a little dram of whiskey and put on my robe and my slippers and my pipe and I'm ready for story Perfect. Time, Reese. Here we go.
Have you ever been in a duel?
A duel?
Yeah.
Not officially.
Okay. So this story is called The Ferocious Duel. The Ferocious Duel. So on 6 a.m., right. At 6 a.m. on April the 11th, 1819, Dr. William Cadwell, who was a surgeon, a retired army officer, engaged in a pistol duel with Michael O'Sullivan, who was a member of the Legislative Assembly of Lower Canada, which is now Ontario. And this was basically a fight to the death, essentially, is what it could have been, to settle a score because one of them had been dishonored by the other. And this was perfectly legal at the time.
What year was this again?
1819.
Oh, all right.
So they were stood about to kill each other with pistols. Because one of them had slightly offended the other one with a disparaging remarks in a newspaper in a letter that was published in a local newspaper.
So hold on, someone got an article written in the newspaper saying disparaging remarks about this other man, and the other man's like, "Fuck you, I'm going to kill you in a duel." And the first man said, "Sure, fuck it, why not?" That's
it was challenged to a duel. It's about honor. So yeah. So imagine if someone did that every time someone was wronged on Twitter, like you were describing.
That would be amazing. Are you fucking kidding me?
Challenge them in a fight to the death at 6 a.m.
The Twitter duels. Are you kidding? That would be amazing. That would make for TV, let me tell you. Like,
that'd be amazing. If at the rate it happens where people get offended and dishonored online,
right?
They would literally be, people would just be falling down in the street all the time. Yeah.
All right. So I mean, like, do duels happen all the time back then? Then was this just like a common thing?
They weren't uncommon, but so it all started. This one started. I'll get into that. But this one started when in 1819, John Molson, the English-born entrepreneur who would eventually become, you know, Molson is the Canadian beer. He's the person who invented it.
Oh, that's cool. So, all right. Was he involved in this duel?
No. So he submitted a petition to the Legislative Assembly to construct a new hospital. And a lot of people said, we don't need a new hospital. So this was like a really stupid local government argument where people were like, we need a new hospital. And other people were like, we don't need a hospital.
We need a new racetrack. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so Michael O'Sullivan, who was one of the duelers, he was a, he'd fought with the British against the US force, the US invading forces previously in the War of 1812. He basically gave a big speech against the hospital construction. And he said he was terrified for the fate of his fellow citizens, warning that a new hospital could be used to conduct experiments on patients. So he was just saying some crazy stuff.
Well, this is 1819. Like, shit like that did happen. Yeah, medical science progressed forward with a lot of fucking experimentation that was quite immoral and like kind of a gray area. Like that shit happened, man. That did occur.
Maybe John Molson wanted to test his beer on the patients. Anyway,
sign me up. Sorry.
So then, William Cadwell heard about his speech and wrote a letter to the newspaper implying that O'Sullivan lacked personal courage because of his warning about human experiments.
Lacked so that was it. Personal that was courage.
Because of his warning about human experiments. Okay. So O'Sullivan's honor was impugned and he challenged Cadwell to a duel in Goose Village, a Montreal neighborhood that no longer exists.
Near Goose Village? Bridge. I see why it doesn't exist with that name.
I know, they rebranded it. It's now called like Cinnamon Trees or something like that.
Oh, that's much nicer. When I'm picturing Goose Village, I'm not thinking of the animal, by the way. Just saying.
Yeah. So... Because of that shitty...
Thank God Goose Village doesn't exist anymore, just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to my people from Goose Village. Anyway, with
the bruised butts, yeah.
Exactly. So because of that, they were in this duel. So a duel, the definition of a duel is an arranged engagement in combat between two people with matched weapons. And it was based on...
And to the death, kind of, right?
Maybe. So duels were fought not just to kill the opponent, but to gain satisfaction. So you felt like your honor had been restored by demonstrating a willingness to risk your life in the name of your honor.
So if
you
someone
has to die.
So if you were in... Like if you were challenged to a duel and you were like, no, fuck this man. He's slighted me and my family, whatever. And you go on to the big, I don't know, what are they duel, the vineyards at dawn with a rolling fog, and you both have muskets,
yeah.
And you fire and he misses you and you hit him in the shoulder, non-fatal. And then he poops his pants and starts crying like a baby. You'd be like, well, that is very satisfying. That is,
exactly.
I feel satisfied. The duel's over. Or you reload your gun and shoot him in the face. Like, and that's legal. I think you can do that while he's pooping and crying on the ground. Like, that's just
to kill them isn't the goal. The goal is to show that you're brave enough to go through with it.
So, if you do kill him, though, you're not being sent away for murder.
No, because by law he accepted the duel. He could have said no.
Do you only have one bullet each?
As long as whatever you want to do, the rules just have to be equal between the two of you.
So hold on, I'm really curious about this. I've never really thought about these rules for killing one another, like in civilized society. How bizarre. So, okay, like, I don't know. Do you have one bullet each? Can you reload? Can you just shoot at each other all fucking day?
No, that's it. As long as you agree it beforehand, you go, right, okay, we'll have one bullet each. Okay, cool. No, we'll have two bullets each. Okay, that's fine. I'm good with that. So the deal is the rules. You just have to have you have to be like even between the two.
So you have to have a witness. Yes.
Yeah. And the thing is, it was traditionally done between male members of nobility and upper class people. So it wasn't done by most people. It was just done by crazy rich people mainly.
So what if two crazy rich people got together, agreed on two bullets each. They both shot one, scared the first person who challenged them, got scared, like, okay, you know what? I'm satisfied. That's fine. And then the guy's like, I'm glad you're satisfied, indicating that the duel is over, but not actually verbally stating that the duel is over and he agreed to the end of the duel. And then he decided, let's weasel my way into this man's heart, and became his best friend over the next year, invited him over to parties and events and galas, and like befriended his wife and his children and whatnot. And then like just basically for the next like 5 years, made him an integral part of his household and his family. And then like one day just walks up and sticks a gun in his face and says, I never agreed to the end of that duel, motherfucker, and then blasts his face off in the front of, like, I don't know, a circus full of people. And then he turns to the circus full of people and he says, with a face full of sprayed blood, it's okay. It's perfectly legal. It was a 5-year-long duel.
No, but it wasn't. That's not legal. That would just be murder because it was settled during the duel.
But it only appeared like it was settled.
How long is the duel, right? Shall I explain a little bit more about duels?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So during the 17th, 18th century,
I guess I should, could have just asked.
I've got it all written in front of me. I'm waiting for you to
just let me shut up. Say yeah.
So they were done with swords initially.
Oh, wait. He should have killed him in the bath. Like, just burst down his front door and it's like, where's your husband? He owes me money. Just kidding. I'm going to shoot him in the bath.
No, but that's just called murder. That's just called murder.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I want to know where the line is. Where's the line between legal murder and illegal murder?
So at the choice of each, the dual, the boot, basically,
like, it's,
the choice.
It's still murder, right?
Do you want me to redo the rules?
I guess. Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's more fun so, thinking about it like this.
At the choice of each party, like an agreement, the duel could be fought and there could be a few different outcomes. One was that it was to first blood. So as soon as one person was wounded, even if it was minor, they would stop. Okay. Another one was until one of them was so severely wounded, he was unable to continue. That was another one.
Okay.
To the death, which means there was no satisfaction until one party died.
How often did that occur?
Quite often, I think. Okay. And then lastly, in the case of pistol duels, each party would fire one shot. If neither person was hit, the challenger would state that he was satisfied and the duel would be declared over. If the challenger was not satisfied, a pistol duel could continue until one man was wounded or killed. So they just keep reloading. But you would have, but to have more than three exchanges of fire was considered barbaric. And on a rare occasion, no hits were achieved, and it was because guns at the time were really bad.
It wasn't barbaric, it was just like embarrassing. Three shots fired, yeah. And nobody gets three hit. Shots. Come on, man.
Exactly. But that's what makes this politician, Michael O'Sullivan, and William Cadwell, a surgeon, that's what makes theirs quite different, is that they agreed five shots.
Because neither one of them knew how to, one was a surgeon. What was the other one? He was a beer maker. A beer maker.
No, Molson wasn't one of them. One of them was, William Cadwell was a surgeon and a retired army officer, and Michael O'Sullivan was a politician.
Okay.
So they exchanged five shots each with pistols. This is a reporter wrote in the newspaper.
Well, hold on. You got to set the scene for me, man. Paint a picture here. This is, you got to build some tension for our audience and for me.
They shot each other five times.
Okay. So where did they meet?
I don't have all the details about it. They met in that park, Goose Village, at 6 a.m. in the morning.
All right. So this is good.
They got a drive through Tim Hortons on the way. It was Canada.
What was the weather like that morning?
Average.
Average. All right. So yeah. They spotted each other. Did they have a witness? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they did. They had their crew with them each.
Their crew.
Just to make sure the rules. And they fired five shots at each other. Two of them dangerously wounded Mr. O'Sullivan, the politician.
Oh, okay.
And Dr. Cadwell, the surgeon, received a shot in the arm and it shattered his arm.
Ugh.
So they both survived, but they were both hot. They basically just stood there repeatedly shooting each other and wounding each other horribly until they ran out of their five shots and neither of them died.
Five shots? That's weird and barbaric.
So Caldwell was never able to practice surgery again. His arm wouldn't work properly.
Oh no. Oh.
So he had to become a teacher and O'Sullivan lived the rest of his life in constant pain. When they did an autopsy when he died, they found a bullet in his spine that had been there the whole time.
In his spine? Yeah. I mean, it went into him and then lodged through, like...
And it was there for the rest of his life.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now, I don't know any politicians that would... Imagine if...
Thank Polyev God for
and Trudeau
alcohol.
Had a duel.
Who?
Imagine if Polyev said... Justin Trudeau is a globalist and all the stuff he says. And then Trudeau was like, I'm going to challenge you to a duel, Polyev. And they
Are you kidding me? That would be amazing.
A park in Ottawa. And repeatedly shot each other.
Be amazing. Are you fucking kidding
Shotguns.
Me?
Shotguns.
Shotgun duel. Jesus Christ. So when was the last duel in Canada?
That was one of the last ones. But the last known fatal one was in Ontario in 1833. When Robert Lyon challenged John Wilson to a pistol after a quarrel over remarks made about a local school teacher whom Wilson married after Lyon was killed. So he basically, he fancied a school teacher. He said, don't marry her. She's not your type. And he said, I challenge you to a duel. He killed him and then married her.
Wow. Oh my God.
Perfectly legal.
So when did it stop being legal? 1833?
The last duel was in August 1873. In a field in St. John's, Newfoundland.
What? Fuck off. No.
And the duelists, Mr. Dooley and Mr. Healy, who were best friends, had fallen in love with the same lady.
What's his name?
Mr. Dooley.
Mr. Dooley. Mr. Healy. Like he duels so damn much that became his nickname.
So D-O-O-L-E-Y.
Ah.
Yeah.
Like comes Mr. Dooley.
Anyway. Exactly. So they were.
I've only dueled 15 times. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Exactly. So they were best friends who'd fallen in love with the same woman and argued over who should be with her. So the one challenged the other one to the duel.
And the woman was fine with this.
Yeah, and they were determined to proceed in the honorable way. She's like, oh, they're both fine. Well, they're willing to kill over me. Whoever wins is the man for me, because they was willing to die.
I think that's weird, though, right? Like, honestly, if I won and I'm with this woman and I'm, you know, we're you know, having a night in by the fire, and so I'm looking over at her and I'm like, oh, all it would have taken was just me to miss by a few inches and you would have been gladly here with someone else. I don't know if I'd be okay with that. Tell you the truth.
But you're gonna like this story.
Oh, okay.
So because Dooley and Healy were best friends, wanted to proceed honorably, they stood back to back with their pistols. They started to slowly walk 10 paces away from each other to the standard 10 yards. They turned and they fired. Dooley hit the ground immediately, and Healy, believing he'd killed Dooley, was seized with horror. But Dooley had merely fainted. The seconds confessed. They had so feared the outcome, they loaded the pistols with blanks.
Who did?
They were best friends.
Now,
in their pistols.
They both put blanks, not knowing that the other put a blank in?
It says the second, so I guess that was their witnesses had given them blanks.
Oh, the second is a witness, I guess.
Because they were best friends. They were like, I'm not giving them my friends kill themselves. So although this was a...
So on the second, the witness was also their friend? Friends?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So although this was a serious breach of duel and etiquette, both opponents gratefully agreed that honor had been satisfied. So they were like, they'd been through the whole ordeal and they were friends again. I don't know what happened.
Who married the woman?
I hope that they just both fell in love. And they didn't need her anymore.
Canadian politics is boring. Rewriting history since 2020.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
They realized that if they were willing to go through that for each other, then they loved, that was the greatest love of all.
I want to turn this into a movie. I think that would be a fantastic movie. Exactly. There's already The Last Duel with fucking amazing actors and incredible writing. I haven't seen it, but I've heard amazing things. I want to do another The Last Duel, but in Newfoundland, 1873. I think that would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for starring two best friends who loaded blanks. Like, this would be a 5-minute movie.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened then? Eventually, by World War II, dueling was basically illegal everywhere. And yeah, it just kind of like went out of fashion, I guess. And it was no longer. And what happened was because they made dueling illegal, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a law anymore. Like people who were rich or from the aristocracy would wear a dress sword wherever they went, and the idea was that they were always ready to defend their honor. So the sword went out of fashion.
Oh, a dress sword. Okay.
Yeah. Like if you were going to put your suit on, you'd already have a sword on your waist. And that was just in case
someone
you needed to defend your honor.
Right. So in case you went to a party and you tried the shrimp and you're like, this shrimp's disgusting. And the chef's like, fuck you. I challenge you to a duel. You've got your dueling sword on you.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because the idea is that free men, and I say free men, I don't say free women because it was history and it was still sexist. Free men had been carrying swords as a symbol that they were free for nearly 3,000 years. So that tradition had been run since the Bronze Age.
Oh, wow.
And ended because there was no longer, you were no longer allowed to just randomly challenge someone to a fight to the death.
I kind of wanted
because they,
I want to challenge
your space or because they, they looked at you funny. The law now is, I think it's, Section 71 of the country's criminal code has outlined that someone who challenges or attempts by any means to provoke another person to fight a duel could face punishment of up to 2 years in jail. So you can go to jail for 2 years just for asking someone to have a duel.
That'd be worth it. That'd be worth it. Come on, picture it.
Or if they say no, I'm calling the police.
You're in jail. People ask you what you're in for. Come on, man. What a story. Like, you got to go through with the duel. You know, don't murder the person. But like. I'm for bringing duels back, non-lethal duels. Well, fuck it, lethal duels. Let's do it. Let's bring lethal duels back. We'll make the country better. There you go, Polyev. Put that on your roster of things to make freedom, the country better. Use the country to better again.
Yeah, freedom to challenge people to in a fight to the death. Like, what happened to that? Come on, Polyev. Pull your thumb out your ass.
Right.
Sort it out. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah.
What about the freedom to, I don't know, like put a pirate in a cage and watch them slowly starve to death and then rot?
Did you say a pirate?
A pirate, yeah. They used to do that.
Not a parrot.
Put them in a cage.
A pirate.
No, a pirate. Yeah, leave the pirates alone. They're great. But, you know, if someone's copying films online, you should be allowed to do that. Welcome to our freedom, Polyev.
We should get Polyev on our show. He'd be a great guest.
I want to be free to take a leak in the middle of a shopping mall.
I want
to
be
free. Welcome to my freedom. What happened to my freedom? I don't recognize Canada anymore.
Right, in somebody else's shopping cart.
I've only been here 4 years. I don't recognize it. When am I going to be free, Jesse, to order Burger King and McDonald's?
Yeah, naked, greased up.
I just want to go to McDonald's, like a free Canadian, and order a Burger King meal.
I mean, you can.
That's what all I want.
But yeah, they won't. Well, I can't. They won't give
you McDonald's.
Yeah, but you can still order.
We don't sell Whoppers, and I'm like, well,
but you have the freedom to order, Reese.
I just want to know that I've got the freedom. Like, what has happened to this country? I don't know.
What's happened to your mind?
What would you like to be free to do that you can't do because of Trudeau and the UN, Jesse?
Super soakers full of hot piss.
Exactly.
Just saying. That would solve a lot of problems.
What has happened? There is so much less hot piss flying through the air in all public spaces. People's clothes don't smell of urea. And it worries
urea?
Me.
What is urea?
It's a chemical in piss.
How do you know this?
I don't know. Urea is known as carbamine, is a safe, useful compound. It's significant. It's good. Maybe I got it wrong. I thought urea was in your piss.
Well, let's just say it is. Again, making urea shit up, having people believe us.
I'm just Googling it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, there is. A normal urea level in urine is 12 to 20 grams over 24 hours. I was right.
There you go.
Of urea in the urine is just malnutrition.
So really, we need super soakers full of concentrated urea.
Well, the urea
is just fucking getting horrifyingly disgusting. This is just really too gross.
That's what 10 years of Justin Trudeau does for you. So apparently we need the freedom to have super soakers full of hot piss, Burger King and McDonald's, and all the other shit we just made up off the top of our heads.
I love it.
Thanks, Polyev.
Thanks, Polyev. Yeah.
Call to action. Why don't you leave a speak pipe with the things you would like to be free to do?
No. You're forgetting already.
What?
Reese. It's only a number of weeks away from Halloween.
Oh, it's your turn to do a ghost story.
It's ghost story time. Ghost story up until Halloween. The call to action will remain the same, I think, should remain the same, which is email us a ghost story. If you have a true ghost story, I mean, you can make it up too, but like, dear listener, if you have a true ghost story that you're proud of and you like telling, write it out, send it to us.
A listener did send us a ghost story.
What? Where?
A listener sent us a ghost story.
I didn't hear this.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Do you want me to read it to you?
Yeah.
No.
What? Where's this?
This is from Justus Hayes, who's very active on Instagram.
We have to add music and sound effects and all that stuff.
Okay.
And maybe elaborate, like, kind of, because if it's just on Instagram, it's going to be a short one, right? So, like, kind of.
I'm just going to, okay.
You kind of, yeah, just fill in the blanks, fill in the lines.
This is the story. I married my first wife with her father's wedding ring. He was an enormous man with Popeye forearms, who was a commercial fisherman. Years later, we divorced, but I still wore the ring for a while. One night, after a couple of beers, I sat on the stern of my boat under a fat moon and decided it was time to move on. I threw the ring into the river, impulsive. About a year later, I moved in with a new lady and got a call from my ex. Her dad just died in a fire on his boat, and couldn't she have the ring back? I was a coward and said I'd look for it. She kept calling back every month or so, and I finally did look for it, going through the motions so I could say I had looked. I'm not proud of that, and I've changed a lot since then. It was almost 30 years ago. While I was looking, I opened an old jewelry box, and there was the ring sitting on a cotton pad, so it was the only thing you saw when the box was opened. I gave her the ring and fessed up about the whole thing, and she just said, "Don't fuck with my dad."
Is that a true story?
That's a true story.
Holy fuck, what?
Did you like that one?
That was amazing.
Great story. So please send us more stories.
That was amazing. Okay.
So was send us your stories.
Yeah, please please send us your stories however you can. I believe Justice, it was a Justice? Is that his name?
Justice Hayes.
Justice Hayes.
On Instagram.
Must have sent it on Instagram, but if you feel, you can contact us however you want. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com, and we will read out your ghost story before Halloween. That was
he's
fun.
He's also an artist. So,
oh, fucking A. Where can we find
He's got a website, LazyRiverDesignWorks.com.
LazyRiverDesignWorks.com. Okay.
All one word. Yeah, there we go. No clever numbers as letters. None of that. LazyRiverDesignWorks.com. So, yeah. Well, bye.
That's it. No pillow talk here, Reese. Just get out of bed and run out the fucking apartment. Is that what you're doing?
In, out, and gone.
Oh God. Oh God. Okay. That's the name of your biography. That's okay, cool.
Off into the night. Quick one and done.
Thank you. Anyway, thank you, dear listener, for listening and sticking us in your ear holes all snug up in there. We love you very much. Thanks for sticking around all the time. And make sure to subscribe so that you get notified when the next episode comes out. We will talk to you all very, very soon. That's it. I'm done. See, that's
bye.
Pillow talk. There's pillow talk, Reese. Don't you know? Pillow
done.
Talk? You've got, no, you're done. Okay, done.
Off I go into the night. Who's next?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.